Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Bahalosecha, and the title of the shiur is The Anon and the Aron. In tonight's shiur, I want to address aspects of the Anon, or the Anonim, which are the clouds that surrounded Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and also the Aron HaKodesh. And there's a relationship that is created and demonstrated in this week's parsha between the two, so I want to understand what that relationship is. We'll take it up from the introduction of the clouds, the Anonim, in Bamidbar Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav. Uviyom hakim es hamishkan, kisa he'anon es hamishkan le'ol ha'idus, uva erev yel mishkan kimare ish ad boker. As soon as the Mishkan was built, there was a cloud that covered the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is called the Ol Ha'idus because it covers the Luchos. And at nighttime, it would turn into fire, and there was fire on top of the Mishkan. Kein yetamid he'anon yechasenu umare esh laila. So this is how it went all the time with the Mishkan. You had the Anon and you had the Esh. You had the Anon during the daytime and the Esh at nighttime. Ulefi he'alos he'anon me'al ha'oel v'acharichen yisu b'nei Yisrael. Uvimimkom asher yishkan sham he'anon sham yachanu b'nei Yisrael. And the Anonim, the cloud, this cloud, and the clouds were in charge of having Bnei Yisrael travel. When the clouds would travel, Bnei Yisrael would travel as well. And when they would stop, that's where they would encamp. Al pi Hashem Yisu, Bnei Yisrael, v'al pi Hashem Yachanu, kol yimei asher yishkon he'anon al mishkon yachanu. Based on the word and the mouth of Hashem, Bnei Yisrael would travel. And based on the mouth of Hashem, Bnei Yisrael would camp. All the days that the Anon was atop of the Mishkan, they would camp. Uvaharich Yanon al Mishkan Yamim Rabim, Vishamru Bnei Yisrael es Mishmeres Hashem below Yisau. And as long as this cloud was on top of the Mishkan, Bnei Yisrael would not travel, and they kept the Mishmeres Hashem and didn't travel. And then it says, V'yesh asher yeh Anon Yamim Mispar al Mishkan, al pi Hashem Yachanu v'al pi Hashem Yisau. Sometimes the cloud was there for many days. V'yesh asher yeh Anon Me'erev ad Boker, V'n Allah He'anon Baboker, V'n Asu O Yomam Balayla, V'n Allah He'anon V'nosu. And sometimes it was just there for a day, and then it would travel, and Klal Yisrael would travel as well. O Yomayim O Chodesh O Yomim, V'harich He'anon Al Mishkan Lishkon Alav Yachanu B'nei Yisrael V'li Yisau, U'V'haloso Yisau. It's the same thing. So either over many days or a month, if the Anon remained on the Mishkan, Bnei Yisrael would remain camped, and they wouldn't travel. And then when it elevated and it moved, Bnei Yisrael would travel. Al pi Hashem yachanu v'al pi Hashem yisau, es mishmeres Hashem shamaru al pi Hashem biyad Moshe. And Klal Yisrael, they traveled based on the mouth and the word, or the mouth of Hashem. And when Hashem didn't dictate that they travel through the Anonim, they would remain encamped. And then the end, it says, al pi Hashem biyad Moshe. Okay, so let's summarize the psukim, just the pshat of the psukim. The summary is that the clouds, which were governed by Hashem, determined when Klal Yisrael would travel. And normally the clouds would be atop the Mishkan, and as the clouds were atop the Mishkan, or the cloud was atop the Mishkan, Klal Yisrael would remain camped. And then when the clouds were removed off the Mishkan, and they ended up elevating, so then Klal Yisrael would travel, and wherever the clouds stopped, that's where they would stop as well. Okay? So I really want to address this area, but I want to take it up from Rashi. We're gonna look at Rashi and ask some questions on Rashi. Look at number two. Rashi, Bamidbar Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Ches, Al Pi Hashem Yisu. Based on the mouth of Hashem, Klal Yisrael would travel. Shaninu B'Meleches HaMishkan. It was taught in this Braisa in Meleches HaMishkan. Kevan Shahayu Yisrael Nosim, Haya Omud Anan Miskapel V'Nimshach Al Gabe B'nei Yehuda, Kamin Korah. When Klal Yisrael were ready to travel, and Hashem wanted Klal Yisrael to travel, what would happen? The Anon from atop the Mishkan would end up folding up, and it would go on top of Yehuda, the Shevet of Yehuda, and it would look like a beam. And then what happened? Taku v'hariyu v'taku. Then there were all these shofar blowings. V'lo haya mahalich, but they wouldn't travel, they wouldn't walk, ad she Moshe omer kuma Hashem, until Moshe would say, kuma Hashem. V'nasa degel machaneh Yehuda zu b'sifri. Okay? So the Rashi is saying that what would happen, the sequence of events were that first Hashem would determine that Klal Yisrael were ready to travel. Then he would take the Anan and he would move it from atop the Mishkan and he would make it a beam on top of Shevet Yehuda. And at that point, they still couldn't go until Moshe said, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem. And then the cloud would travel and the people would travel as well. Okay, and look at the next Rashi, Valpi Hashem Yachanu, and based on the mouth of Hashem, they encamped. Kevan Shayu Yisrael Chonim, when they would stop to camp, Amud He'anan Mitamer Ve'ola Ve'nimshach Agabe B'nei Yehuda Kimin Sukkah. So the Anan, it would spread out and over B'nei Yehuda like a sukkah. Ve'loya Nefarish Ad Shemoshe Omer Shuva Hashem Revos Alfei Yisrael. Would not stop and separate from B'nei Yehuda and return back to the Mishkan until Moshe would say Shuva Hashem, return or rest Hashem Revos Alfei Yisrael amongst, you know, the many of Klal Yisrael, the thousands of Klal Yisrael. Hevi Omer Al Pi Hashem Uviyad Moshe. That's what it means at the end in Pasuk Chav Gimel. It says Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. It says based on the mouth of Hashem at the hands of Moshe. So Moshe was integral in terms of telling Klal Yisrael or moving the clouds, and he was also integral in terms of stopping the clouds and bringing them back into Klal Yisrael. So what is the question here? What's the obvious question that emerges on this Rashi and these Psukim? Anybody? What are some of the questions on this Rashi? I think the main question that I want to address is, why did Moshe have to say anything in order for the clouds to move and in order for Klal Yisrael to travel? One would think that Hashem, it was his will that Klal Yisrael travel. So what should happen is that the clouds should just move on their own. And why does Moshe play a part? What role does Moshe play in terms of moving the clouds and in terms of the clouds finally guiding Klal Yisrael to the next place of encampment? Okay? Any other questions? Anybody? Okay. So let's keep this question, as we usually do, on the back burner for a little bit, and we'll come back to it. But let me just state again. The first question that we're going to take up and we're going to address is, what is Moshe's role in terms of the clouds traveling? Why did Moshe have to play a part, and what's the purpose of that part? Okay? But there's something even stranger about Rashi. What psukim does he quote in terms of telling us what Moshe said? So if we look at number 3, later on in Baloscha, in the next parak, it says, Vayihi binso aron vayomer Moshe, kuma Hashem v'yafutsu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. When the aron would travel, Moshe would say, kuma Hashem, he would say, arise Hashem, and scatter your enemies, and may those who hate you flee from you. V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, uvnucho yomar shuva Hashem revosa feisro. And then when it would rest, he would say, return Hashem, or rest Hashem, amongst the myriads of, and the thousands of Klal Yisrael. So what's the question that emerges now? What's another question that we can ask on Rashi? It's a contradiction, because on the one hand, Rashi before, number 2, he was saying that Moshe's saying Kuma Hashem referred to the Anan, to the clouds. And it says, if you look at number 2, in Rashi on Yud Ches, in the second line, he says, V'loya mahalech achem Moshe omer Kuma Hashem. And the same thing about the Anan, that the Anan wouldn't return, it wouldn't separate until Moshe said, Uvnucho Yomar. But in the Pshat of the Psukim, in number 3, it's not referring to the Anan, it's referring to the Aron. It says that, Vayhi bin Soa Aron. When the Aron would travel, Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem, Biafutso Ivecha, Vianusim Misanecha Mipanecha. So which one was Moshe referring to when he said, Kuma Hashem? Was he referring to the Aron, like the Pshat of the Psukim? Or is he referring to the Anan, as Rashi mentions before in Pasuk Yitchas? Okay? Okay, before we answer that question, so I'm gonna summarize all the questions and we're gonna knock them off. But before we answer that question, so we have 2 questions. What is Moshe's role in the traveling of the clouds and the traveling of Klal Yisrael? And then second question is, Rashi says, based on the Medrash, that when Moshe would say Kuma Hashem, he would say Arise Hashem, that's when the clouds would travel. And when he said Uvnucho Yomar, that's when they would stop and they would return amongst Klal Yisrael. But now in the Psukim, the second question is, in the Psukim, it seems like Moshe is referring to the Aron. So what exactly was he talking, what is Rashi mentioning before when he says that he's referring to the Anan? Okay? All right, so if you look at number 4, I just want to understand also, another thing that was bothering me, something else that was bothering me, is what exactly is the content of what Moshe is saying? How does it relate to the Anan or the Aron? If we look in Rashi, he just explains more of the pshat of what Moshe is saying. And number four, Rashi on the same sukkim by Ibn Sa'ar Aron, says, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, lefisha haya makdim lefnehem mahalach shloshes yamim. The Aron traveled in front of Klai Yisrael 3 days. Haya Moshe Omer, Amud vehamtein lanu. Moshe would say to the Aron, stop and wait for us. Va'al tisrachek yoser. And don't get too far away from us. B'midrash tanchuma b'vayakel. Okay, so the pshat, according to Rashi, I mean, he's quoting the Medrash, but what was Moshe saying? He was saying, don't get too far. The Aron was in front of Klal Yisrael 3 days in front, and we're going to explain that. And Moshe, by saying, Kuma Hashem, he's saying basically to stop and don't get too far. V'yafutsu oivecha, and scatter your enemies, hamechunasin. That's referring to the enemies that were gathered, that they're ready to fight Klal Yisrael. V'yanusu misanecha, elu harofim. And that's referring to the fact that all the enemies who are fleeing after you are referring to the people who chase after Klal Yisrael. There are two types of people. There are people who are waiting for Klal Yisrael to come in, and they're going to destroy them. And then there are other people that are chasing after Klal Yisrael. Misanecha elu sone Yisrael. These are the sone Yisrael. These are the haters of Yisrael. Shekola sone es Yisrael, sone es misha amar v'haya olam. Anybody who hates Klal Yisrael also hates Hashem. Shneamar umsanecha nasirosh umihem al amcha yari musod. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Those who hate you raise their heads." And who are those? Those who plot against the nation. Okay. So this is the pshat, and then look at the last one. Shuva Hashem in number four. Menachem tirguma lashon mergoa means to rest. V'chein b'shuva v'nachas toshiyun revivos alfei Yisrael. Magid she'ein hashchina shora b'Yisrael pechusim mishnei alafim ushtei revavos. This teaches you that the Shechina does not dwell amongst Klal Yisrael with less than 22,000 people. Why? Because it says Shuva Hashem revavos alfei Yisrael. Revavos alfei Yisrael is referring to 22,000 people. Okay. So what's another question that we can ask on this Rashi? Tamar, help me out. Come on, Debbie. What's another question on this Rashi?
I'm thinking.
You're thinking? Why is that? What is that idea? The last part, Shuvah Hashem Revos Alfei Yisrael, what does it mean that the Shechina is in Shora and amongst Klal Yisrael if there's less than 22,000 people? What is it talking about? Right? Doesn't that bother you?
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Bothersome.
All right, it's very strange, okay? So let me just count off the questions. And then the first question is, Moshe had to say something in order for the Anonim to travel. So why? Why did he have to say anything? The second question is that the statement of Kuma Hashem is not referring to the clouds. It's really referring to the Aron. So why is Rashi saying before that it's referring to the clouds? Right? Then the third question is, what exactly is the point of this statement? What is the point of Moshe saying Kuma Hashem Yafutzo Ivecha V'Yinusim Misanechem Mepenecha? Why is he saying this? You know, what value is there in saying this? And then the last question is, on Uvnucha Yomar, that this strange Rashi seems to indicate that the Shechina is only Shora, God's presence, it only dwells amongst a certain mass of people, 22,000 people. So why? Why is that the case? What does that even mean? What does it mean that the Shechina is only Shora amongst 22,000 people? Okay? All right. So we're going to come to an answer. We're just building up all the questions. So just, what is it talking about that the Aron traveled in front of Klal Yisrael? If you look a couple of
seconds... Can I just ask a different question?
Please. Yes.
Why the clouds to begin with?
Good question. Okay, good question. Excellent. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
Why do the clouds in general dictate when Klal Yisrael would travel or how they would travel, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good question. All right. Anybody else have any questions? All right. Let's just try to explain a little background. What exactly does it mean that the Aron would travel in front, and what's it referring to? So if you look in Bamidbar, Perek Yod Pasuk Lamed Gimel, just a couple of seconds before, it says, Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloshes yamim, va'aron bris Hashem nasal lifnam derech shloshes yamim, lasur lahem menucha. They left Har Sinai and the Aron of Hashem, the Aron of the covenant of Hashem, traveled in front of them 3 days' worth in order to find Klal Yisrael a place to rest. And then it says, "Va'anan Hashem aleihem yomam binasam min amachane," and it says the cloud was upon them when they traveled min amachane, from the machane. So what is this talking about? Look in Rashi number 6. It says, "Va'aron bris Hashem nosei lifnehem derech shloshes yomim zeha aron hayotze imahem lamelchama." There was two arons. One aron stayed amongst Klal Yisrael, and the other aron was brought out to battle. Uvo shivrei luchos munachem. And that aron had the broken luchos. So one aron was for the intact luchos, the second pair of luchos, and that stayed with Klal Yisrael. But the other aron was with the broken luchos. And it was umakdim lifneim derech shos jamim l'sakein lahem makom chaniya. And this aron, the second aron, traveled in front of them 3 days in front in order to find them a place to encamp. Okay? Va'anan Hashem aleihem yomam. And what does it mean that the clouds were upon them, the cloud of Hashem? Shiva ananim k'suvim v'masem. 7 times in the psukim, the ananim are mentioned. Arba me'arba ruchos. There were 4 on each side, so there are 4 directions. Ve'echad l'mala, and 1 on top. Ve'echad l'mata, and 1 beneath. 1 underneath their feet. Ve'echad l'fnehem, and then 1 traveled in front. Manmich esagavoa. So what was the purpose of the cloud that traveled in front of Klal Yisrael? It would lower the mountains and the hills, umagbia esanomach, and it would raise the ditches and the valleys in order that Klal Yisrael not have to climb or travel down. The horig nechashim v'akravim, and this cloud would also destroy all the snakes and the scorpions. Okay? All right. So we had the Aron, which had the shivrei luchos, the broken luchos, would traveled in front of Klal Yisrael 3 days' worth, and that was normally brought out into war, la milchama, and then you had all these ananim. You had 7 ananim. You had the clouds on top, the clouds to the side, the clouds behind, you know, the clouds beneath, the clouds, and 1 cloud in front. And the cloud in front was involved in making sure that there was a level ground for Klal Yisrael to walk on, and that there were no snakes and scorpions. Okay. All right. Makes sense. All right. So we have many questions here, right? What is the relationship between the Aron and the Anon? Why did Moshe have to say anything at all? What's the content of his statement? What does he mean when he says "Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo ivecha v'nusim senecha"? Why is Moshe responsible for the Aron stopping or for the Anon stopping? Why is the Shechina not shore amongst Klal Yisrael with less than 22,000 people? Those are all the questions. Okay.
Wait, I have another question.
Please, yeah, go ahead.
Is there a reason for the number that you're mentioning, like 2 on one side? Why not 1 big one?
Say it again? Oh, that's good. Okay, why not 1 big cloud? Okay, good question.
Right. Why are there little ones?
Okay, good. All right, good question. Anybody else have any questions? All right. So before we enter Rashi, I saw this Rashbam, and it reminded me of an idea. I think he's giving a different shot than Rashi, but I'm not sure, not 100% sure. But I thought it was an interesting, it's just a really short Rashbam, and it's on the same area. And he's taking up the same pasuk that we just read, the same psukim. If you look at number 7, he says, "V'aron bris Hashem nosea lifneihem," that the Aron of the covenant of Hashem traveled in front of them. "Kol osan shloshe yamim lasur lahem menucha," so all 3 days, in order to find them a place to rest. Ki ha'anan holeich al ha'aron, because the anan traveled on the aron. So the way the Rashbam has it is that wherever the aron went, the anan went with it. So you had the aron traveling in front of Klal Yisrael, and the anan followed at its side, or it really was always with the aron. So they're really one unit, according to the Rashbam. He must be referring to the anan that was on top of the Mishkan, and it was the one that was in front, and that one always traveled with the aron. So the question is why? Why did the anan and the aron always have to travel together, according to the Rashbam? Okay, so this is an idea. Before we answer Rashi and all the other questions, this is an idea that I heard that I think also makes sense over here. There's a concept of, like on Yom Kippur, for example, when the Kohen Gadol enters into, or when he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's an idea of a cloud of smoke. And the idea that I've heard about that, in reference to that, I think it was from Rabbi Chait, is the concept that in approaching God, we have to recognize the lack of clarity in our understanding of certain deep ideas and metaphysical ideas. And the deepest ideas about God and the closest metaphysical ideas, not the closest, but the deepest metaphysical ideas are expressed through the Aron, which is where God communicated with Moshe. So the idea is that wherever the Aron goes, according to the Rashbam, wherever the Aron goes, there always has to be a cloud with it. Because the Aron can never be exposed to man. There always has to be a lack of clarity when it comes to the Aron. So even according to the Rashbam, even when the Aron would travel, it would always travel with an Anan atop it, in order to demonstrate the idea that there is a barrier between us and the deep ideas that the Aron reflects and the Aron represents. Okay? So I really think that's the idea that Rashbam is getting at. But I don't know if Rashi's really saying that. He doesn't really openly say it as much as the Rashbam. And I don't know if we have to assume that that's the idea. So that was just one point in terms of the Rashbam. But let's get back to our questions. So does anybody have any possibilities for any of the questions? So we have a couple questions on the table. So does anybody have any thoughts?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead. On any of the questions. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. About why Moshe had to speak.
Yes, why did he have to say something? Yeah.
Because maybe the Israel needed to be reminded that, like, with all the divine intervention, with the Ananim and the protection that they were getting, maybe they needed to be reminded that, you know, Moshe was chosen by Hashem and that he was the one who was supposed to lead them.
Okay.
And that they should follow him.
Okay. All right. But how does that relate to Kuma Hashem, Yafutsu Ivecha, Venusu Misenecha Mipanecha?
Well, that's a different question.
Well, that's what he said. So you would think that the content of what he said would reflect back on why he has to say it.
I think they're separate questions.
All right.
Then I don't know.
All right.
Or maybe the fact that he says that helps, like, Bnei Yisrael know that they actually, like, they themselves as humans have the power to do something that's not just like Hashem, but
okay,
actually, like,
all right,
what to do, but sort of be in charge of it.
All right. Okay. I hear that. It's a good approach. All right. Yes.
I wanted to say something about maybe why he chose the cloud.
Okay. Go ahead.
Maybe that has something to do with, like, I don't know, I was thinking, like, the cloud being, like, something that's, like, part of nature that, like, they see all the time, and it's taking on a different function.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think the idea of the cloud is kind of similar to what I was saying before, which is that whenever we have the presence of God, there's always a lack of clarity. There's always a barrier between us and our understanding of God, and that's the idea of the cloud being used. It's also an idea...
Isn't that why there's multiple clouds to show that it's, like, a big barrier?
It's also an idea that, like, a cloud... I think the idea is that a cloud doesn't have any tangibility. Like, you can't grab a cloud, and you can't, you know, it is physical, but it's not tangible. It's not like an idol, so it lacks like tangibility. So I think that's another idea that you want to, if you're gonna have some type of means of approaching God, it has to be like removed from physicality as much as possible, or from tangibility. I shouldn't say physicality. Okay. All right, so let's get back to some of the questions and try to answer them, you know, and put all this stuff together. All right, so the question is a couple questions. One question was why did Moshe have to say anything, and then what's the content of what he's saying, and why does it relate to both the Aron and the Anan? Okay, so first I just want to take up the relationship between the Aron and the Anan and what Moshe is saying. So if you look at the content of what Moshe is saying, he says, if we go back to number 3 on the source sheets, it says, Vayhi binso Aron, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem, Viafutsu Oivecha, Vianusu Mesanecha Mipanecha. So Hashem is saying that when the Aron traveled, and it was traveling, Moshe would say, Arise Hashem, and scatter your enemies, and also... those who flee, those who are chasing you should flee. Okay, so basically Moshe is addressing Hashem's ability to fight, to be a warrior, and Hashem's ability to take on the enemies of Klal Yisrael. And he's saying, Kum Hashem yafutzu evechem nusam esanechem panecha. And being that we saw before that Rashi is referring to the Ananim, and he's saying Kum Hashem yafutzu evechem nusam esanechem panecha with reference to the Anan and also with reference to the Aron, I would think that there's a relationship between the two in the framework of war, in the framework of battling. And if we saw before in number 6 in Rashi that the Aron that traveled in front of Klal Yisrael was also the Aron that would go out l'melchama, it would go out to war with Klal Yisrael. So the Aron was really in charge of, or this Aron that was in charge of finding a place for Klal Yisrael to encamp was also in charge of clearing out the area and making sure that nobody was there to fight Klal Yisrael and making them scatter. And that's why Moshe is saying, Kum Hashem b'yafutzu evecha minusim esnecha minpanecha, that the Aron should function in line with what its goal is and what it's for, which is to destroy the enemies of Klal Yisrael and to make them scatter and to make them flee. So how does the Anan relate to that? Okay, and what are these concepts? So there's an idea in the Anan also that I was remembering back to Shmos, to Bishalach, my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. There's an idea of the Anan as well that I think also fits in with the Aron. If you look at number 8 in the source sheets, it says, Vayisa is by when Klal Yisrael were running away from the Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim were chasing them, it says, Vayisa malach Elokim ha'olech lifnei machane Yisrael vayelech ma'achareihem, Vayisa amud ha'anan mipneihem vayamod ma'achareihem. So what happened was that they were right on Klal Yisrael's tail, the Mitzrayim, and the Malach and the Anan, they went from the front of Klal Yisrael. It seems like he's referring to the Anan that led Klal Yisrael, the one in the front. It went towards the back. Why? Vayavo bein machane Mitzrayim uvein machane Yisrael vayhi ha'anan v'achoshech vayayir es halayla v'lo karav zeh el zeh kol halayla. It darkened the Mitzrayim's camp. And it made it impossible for the Mitzrayim to approach Klal Yisrael. And then if you look in Rashi over there, it's a famous Rashi. It says, Vayelech ma'achareihem, number 9, on that pasuk, on Yotes, Lahavdil bin machane Mitzrayim uvein machane Yisrael, in order to separate the two machanos, ulekabel chitzim uvlistarao shel Mitzrayim. And the purpose of the cloud was to accept the arrows and the catapults from the Mitzrayim. Okay, so the cloud, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, the cloud that traveled in front of Klal Yisrael also was able to function to protect Klal Yisrael, and it traveled in back of Klal Yisrael in order to separate between Machane Yisrael and Machane Mitzrayim, and also to accept the arrows, because the Mitzrayim were trying to attack Klal Yisrael, and they were sending in arrows and catapults and rocks into the camp of Klal Yisrael, but the cloud protected Klal Yisrael. Okay? So what do we see from here, from this psukim? We see that one of the functions of the Anan was also to protect Klal Yisrael. The function, there are two aspects of protection, though. See, the Aron really was responsible for going out to battle with Klal Yisrael. So the Aron is more offensive. The job of the Aron and its purpose and its function was to go out with Klal Yisrael when they were fighting in battle and to actively, I guess through Hashgacha, function to destroy the enemies. But the idea of the Anan was the opposite, is defensive. The idea of the Anan was that there are times when you see a fort, you know, not me personally, but in history, when you see a heavily fortified city. So if you're a warrior, you're gonna be dejected, and you're not gonna fight. It's gonna be harder for you to motivate yourself to fight against something that you feel is impenetrable, is impossible, to break down, like a heavily fortified city. So there's two concepts, there's two ways in which the Hashgacha worked to protect Klal Yisrael. One was in an offensive way, and that's really reflected in the Aron. The Aron would go out to war, it would go out to Melchama, and it would actively, through Hashgacha, it's really the Hashgacha, not the Aron, but the Aron reflected that Hashgacha, that idea of Hashgacha, it would destroy the enemies of Klal Yisrael. But the Anan functioned to protect Klal Yisrael from the external, and in that way it also scattered the enemies, because when an enemy sees an impenetrable city, a fort that can't be broken down, they also flee and they scatter. So if we go back to the statement of Moshe, and we go back to number 3, it says, Vayehi ben Tzohar Aaron, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oyvecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. The question was, how does that statement that Hashem should scatter his enemies and those who flee after Klal Yisrael should cease to do so, how does that relate to both the Aaron and the Anan? But I think it makes sense now, because what Moshe was expressing was that there are two ways in which Hashem affects or destroys the enemy. One way is actively, offensively, through the Aron, and the other way is defensively. That when the enemies of Klal Yisrael see that Klal Yisrael are protected and they can't be broken down, nobody can get through the clouds. So in that way, they're also protected. So Moshe is just expressing the same idea with regard to the Anan and the Aron, because they worked and they functioned together. In the same, but there are two aspects of Hashgacha, two aspects of ways in which God would protect Klal Yisrael. And you see the idea of protection also from the fact that Rashi says that there were seven Ananim. It sounds just without, just descriptively, it sounds like they were in a box of clouds. They were basically protected and completely fortified from any external, potential harmful, dangerous attacks from anybody else. And that's the idea of the Anan. The Anan's an idea in protection, in creating a fortified effect on Klal Yisrael. But in that way also, you scatter enemies. Because enemies won't fight, and they won't persist if they see that they can't break through. But the other way is through the offensive, through the Aron. So really, Moshe's statement of Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oyvecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha is really relating to both the Anan and both the Aron. And that's how you explain. I think that Rashi before, when he was referring to the Anan, and the Rashi over here where he's referring to the Aron. Okay? Does it make sense? Okay. Any questions? All right.
One question on when they would get up to trouble, why would the theme be that they're going to fight their enemies? Why is that so important?
Well, it's an idea in protecting Klal Yisrael. I mean, they're traveling. They don't want to go into an area. They don't want to feel... They want to feel a certain sense of security in their traveling, because traveling, by definition, makes a person feel insecure. And they're going to an unknown area. They haven't really spied out the area. So there's an idea that that it should be safe for them. And Klal Yisrael should know that it will be safe for them. Okay? But what's the concept over here about Moshe? What's Moshe's involvement over here? So I want to take that up next. So the first point I was making was that the content relates to both Anan and Aron, and there's a relationship between the Anan and the Aron in the sense that they're both means of protecting Klal Yisrael, but in an offensive and defensive manner, and they complement one another in the Midbar. But the other idea of Kuma Hashem, what is Moshe's role here? If we go back to Rashi, Rashi says, Lefisha yamakdim lefneim mahalach shloshes yamim haya Moshe omer amod v'hamtein lanu v'al tisrachek yoser. So Moshe said to the Aaron, "Don't go too far. Don't remove yourself too far." So what is that? What's that concept? See, when the Shekhinah, the God's presence, or we explained before in previous shiurim that the idea of the Shekhinah is that there is a greater opportunity for Klal Yisrael to recognize God through various manifestations of Hashgacha, like the Anan or. So that's the idea of the Shekhinah. So when the Shekhinah leaves Klal Yisrael, even if it's for their benefit in the Midbar, so they have to be prepared. There have to be a declaration of preparation on the part of Klal Yisrael. Because it's not easy for Klal Yisrael. They were used to having the Shekhinah amongst them. And now the Shekhinah, these manifestations of God's presence, the Anan and the Aron, they're now leaving Klal Yisrael. They're traveling in front of Klal Yisrael. And they can no longer, it's no longer amongst Klal Yisrael. It's no longer within Klal Yisrael. So the idea is that on the one hand, Hashem was really in charge of traveling, of the travel schedule of Klal Yisrael, and he was really in charge. And Moshe didn't really have a power, but the idea of Moshe being involved is that Moshe is demonstrating the preparedness on the part of Klal Yisrael that the Shekhinah is leaving. They had to recognize what the purpose of the Shekhinah leaving was, which was to protect Klal Yisrael. And only until Moshe declared Kum Hashem Yafutzu Eivecha and the people understood what was happening and that the Shekhinah was leaving them and they were prepared for that, only then did Hashem travel. And you see from the last part also, Shuvah Hashem Revos Alfei Yisrael, what does that mean? So same thing. It means that the Shekhinah only show Rabbi Yisrael with less than unless there's more than 22,000 people. Moshe is saying that we're prepared to accept you back into the fold, back into amongst Klal Yisrael. So that's the Uvnucha Yomar, Shuv Hashem Revos Yisrael, is Moshe's declaration that we are ready, we are prepared for the Shechina to come back amongst Klal Yisrael. So Moshe's role in the clouds traveling and the clouds stopping and the Aron traveling and the Aron stopping was in terms of, it was more in terms of Klal Yisrael's readiness to accept A, that the Shechina was leaving and be prepared to accept that. And then when the Shechina came back, they had to be on the level and they had to be ready for it. And Moshe had to express that in order that Klal Yisrael be prepared for it in both senses, in both ways. And you see that whenever the Shechina is distant from Klal Yisrael, that's what Moshe is saying. Don't distance to the Shechina. Don't distance yourself too much from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael need the Shechina. They need it, but they also have to be prepared for the fact that the Shechina is leaving and it's doing its function and doing its duty. So that is, I think that explains the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no human power. It was an idea that Hashem didn't have Klal Yisrael travel until they were ready to accept the ramifications of not having the Shechina amongst them. And he didn't return. The Shechina didn't return amongst Klal Yisrael until Klal Yisrael were ready to accept the Shechina. They were prepared to accept the Shechina. And Moshe's declarations were an expression of Klal, because he's the leader of Klal Yisrael, were an expression of that. Okay? All right, so let me just summarize. So there are two main points. It's not that complicated, but I think we answered all the questions. Two main points. One point is that the Aron and the Anan function together to destroy the enemies, and they made Klal Yisrael feel safe and secure, but they functioned in different ways. The Anan was more protective and defensive, and the Aron was the one that went out to battle, and it was more offensive. And the other idea is, what was Moshe's role? Moshe's role was to demonstrate that Klal Yisrael were prepared for these events to take place. And it wasn't easy for Klal Yisrael to accept the fact that the Shechina was now going to be removed from them somewhat and wasn't going to be amongst them. But they had to be prepared for that because they had to recognize the value in the Shechina leaving. And they also had to be prepared for the return of the Shechina. Shuv Hashem, Revoso Fe Yisrael. Okay? All right. Any other thoughts or any other questions? Yeah.
It sounds kind of funny that the Shechina couldn't... It's like a thing that has to be like at one place at one time. Like you can't protect them, and
I mean, why couldn't it do both? Good question. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, why couldn't it do both? Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Excellent. Yeah. I don't know. Anybody have an answer? No. Okay. All right.
Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, the question was, why did there have to be this separation of the Shechina? Why couldn't there just be both? Why couldn't God have the Shechina or some manifestation with Klal Yisrael and also have another manifestation of God, you know, traveling in front of them and fighting battles and wars? Why did it have to be either or? So it's a good question. I'm not sure. All right, so let's just take up, I just want to take up one more point in the Shir, which is the concept that Hashem is in Shora. His Shechina is in Shora with less than 22,000 people. It's a strange concept. What is that idea? So I'm not exactly sure what the number of 22,000 is. I saw this Torah Tamima that explains it, but I didn't really understand, you know, the meaning of what he was trying to say. But we can understand the general idea, the most basic idea. There's two Gemaras that the Torah Tamima quotes that say the same thing, but they're in different contexts. They're kind of interesting Gemaras. Look at number 10. It says Tana Rabbana Uvnucha Yomar Shuva Hashem Revos Alfei Yisrael Melame Cheina Shechina Shora Al Pachos Mishnei Alafim Ushnei Revos Meisrael. So that teaches you that the Shechina does not dwell with less than 22,000 from Yisrael. Hare Shahayu Yisrael Shnei Alafim Ushnei Revos Chaser Echad. Let's say they're missing one person, the 22,000. Vizeh Shelo Asak BePeri Yevrivya Nimtza Zegorim LeShechina SheTestalik Meisrael. Therefore, the person who chooses not to have children actively, they're causing the Shechina to not dwell amongst Klal Yisrael. Strange Gemara, but the Gemara is trying to promote the idea of Puravu, and it's saying that there's not just a personal element to Puravu, but it could potentially lead to a deficit in Klal Yisrael as a whole, and that's what it's referring to. And you have another interesting Gemara coming up. It's in Bava Kamma, Pei Gimel Amud Beis, Torah Tamima quotes it. He says, "Darish Rav Dustai Uvnucha Yomar Shuva Hashem Revos Alfei Yisrael Melamed She'ena Shechina Shore Al Pachos Mishnei Alafim Ushnei Revos Meisrael." Same thing. The Shechina doesn't dwell amongst less than 22,000 people. Hare Shahayu Yisrael Shnei Alafim Ushnei Revos Chaser Echad. let's say they were missing one individual. There were one less than 22,000. V'haisa isha me'uberes beinam, and you had a pregnant woman amongst them. Ru'uya lahashlim, and she, her child will be the final person to make 22,000. V'navach ba'kela v'hipila, but a dog barks at her and she has a miscarriage. Nimtza ze gorim l'shchina shetistalik mi'Yisrael. This causes the shchina to leave Yisrael. Mikan amru lo yigdal adam es hakelev eliyim kain kasher b'shal shalos. Therefore, we learn that a person shouldn't raise dogs unless the dog is bound by chains. You have to make sure that the dog is chained up, and it won't cause this woman to have a miscarriage and therefore affect the Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Also, interesting Gemara. But the Gemara is basically saying that you have to be very concerned and you have to be aware of the fact that an individual doesn't just affect the personal, but it affects Klal Yisrael as a whole. But I don't really want to take up the specifics of those Gemaras, even though they're very interesting Gemaras. I more want to take up the general concept. What is the concept that the Shechina isn't Shore with less than 22,000 people? But I think there's one idea that could help us explain it. And the Torah Tmima brings it to light. If you look at number 11, actually it's a bad girsa in the source sheets of the Torah Tmima, so I'm just going to read it from the Torah Tmima itself. The Torah Tmima says... he says, "V'chasva tosvos al hada amar she'ena shchina shora al pachos michaf beis alafim." So there's a tosvos that asks or explains the idea of 22,000 people. V'zel l'shono, and this is what he says: "Lo shayach kan hada amrinan b'sanhedrin lametas amud aleph kol be asara shchinta sharia." So you have a problem because in Sanhedrin it says that when you have 10 individuals, the shchina hashora. So it's a contradiction. Which one is it? Is it 22,000 or is it 10? Dehacha anevim va'mishkan ka'amar ad kan l'shono. So his answer is no. That when we mention the Shechina in reference to 22,000 people, it's referring to nevuah, to nevim and mishkan. So you won't have nevim and mishkan with less than 22,000 people, but there still is an idea of Shechina amongst 10 people. So we'll try to explain that what that means. But he, the Torah Tmima, rejects Tosvos. He says l'daiti dochak lo markein. He says this is not such a clear answer. And it's hard to say this. Because this idea of 22,000 isn't only Bizman and Mikdash or Mishkan, but it's in Eretz Yisrael and in Golos. Right. So it should affect all time periods. So he gives Aval Be'emes Yesh Lomar Pasha Dehad Sanhedrin Inyan Acherhu. So the in Sanhedrin, when it says that there's the Shechina amongst 10, is a different idea. What it means to say is when you have 10 people who are davening or involved in Torah, dafka az hashchina shara besocham. Only then is the Shechina amongst them. But by the 22,000, it's talking about a consistent Shechina. Even if there's no tefillah in Torah. Okay? So we have two answers here. One is the Tosos and the Torah Tmima, but their question is, you have another Gemara that says that you have the Shechina amongst 10 individuals. So how do you explain that? Oh, so there's two answers. Either you say that the Shechina by 22,000 is Nevuah or Mishkan, but not by 10. Or the other possibility is that it's only when the 10 people are involved in tefillah or learning that the Shechina is Shorah. But by 22,000, it just shore bitmidos consistently. So what is this talking about? Somebody give me some help here. What is this idea that the Shechina is only shore amongst 10? Even 10. Why would you say that the Shechina is shore amongst 10 as opposed to, you know, 3 or 4 or 5? And what is that? What's that concept? Why 10? Why 22,000? Why do you need a lot of people for the Shechina to be shore? Okay? All right, anybody have any possibilities for why that would be? So what is the concept of 10 in tefillah? Why do we have 10 in tefillah? Why is it better tefillah, yeah?
Minyan,
but what is the idea of minyan? Why is it better to daven in the minyan? So there's another idea that I can't take credit for, but I've heard, but it's a true idea, I think, is that when you daven in a minyan, it reduces the sense of self. that when you're amongst a group of people, there's less sense of self-importance and ego because you're no longer a yachid, but you're in a group. And that's the idea of minyan in tefillah. Tefillah is really optimal when a person's able to subdue the ego and the sense of self-importance because they're approaching God. They're in the presence of God. And the only way to do that is to, you know, is to subdue the ego somewhat. Okay? So how does that, how does that fit into the idea this far here? The idea of the Shekhinah is that Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael, or people, individuals, opportunities to gain knowledge about God. But the only way that a person can gain knowledge, or at least appropriate knowledge about God, is if their ego is in check, if they have a certain ability to view themselves not just as an important person, but a person amongst a group. And if that isn't the case, if you have less than a certain amount of individuals, let's say less than 22,000 or less than 10 individuals, so then it becomes a person can only, it would only be dangerous to for the Shekhinah to be Shorah in that situation, because the person wouldn't be able to relate to the Shekhinah properly and they would just come out with distorted ideas about God. So the concept of the Shekhinah being Shorah, that there's a unique opportunity for people to gain insight into God when they're in numbers, is because of the fact that there's less opportunity for distortion. But when you have a mass of people, when you have a group of people, so now there's an opportunity. Now the opportunity to gain insight into God is present, is appropriate, and only then can the Shekhinah be Shora. So now the difference, the only difference between 10 and 22,000 is a difference, according to the Torah Tmima, is a difference in Tmidus versus temporary. That in order to be, the difference seems to be that in order to access the presence of God or the manifestation of God's Hashgacha on a consistent manner, there has to be more people than just a minion, just 10 people. But you have to be in a greater group. You have to have a society of people in order to have a consistent Shekhinah. Only then can you view yourself in the proper light, view yourself amongst a society, and then approach God in the proper way. But less than that, less than a society, it would be dangerous. It would be bad for Klal Yisrael. And I think there's the only machlokas between Tosfos and the Torah Tmimas Pshat is the question of the level of Hashgacha. According to Tosfos, Tosfos is saying that the level of Hashgacha is more intense and it's more direct when you have more people, because he's saying you have Nevi'im and Mishkan, which is a more direct and a more intense form of Hashgacha. But according to the Torah Tmima, it's not about the quality of the Hashgacha, it's about the consistency of it. That only when Klal Yisrael is involved in tefillah, and it's only temporary when it comes to a minyan. But when you want it tmidus, when you want it consistently, then you need a society of Jewish people. And I think the Torah Tmima, he tries to tie in the idea of 22,000 to the idea of a Sanhedrin. He says that he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, and he says that there's some type of concept that for each 1,000 people, there's one individual amongst them who's enough of a tzaddik that he can be on a Sanhedrin. And I think the idea of Sanhedrin is necessary for a society. You need a Sanhedrin, you need a court. So you need 22 judges. It's a hard way to learn it because he excludes one. But he says you need a Sanhedrin. Basically, the idea I think he's expressing is that you need a society of Jewish people, and in order to have a society, you need a court system and you need a Sanhedrin. So that's why it's 22,000. But the main idea is the concept of society versus a group. And when you're in a society, you feel more of a connection to the group as a whole as opposed to just amongst 10, and then you can relate to God properly. Okay? All right. Anybody have questions? Any other thoughts on the share? All right. So let me just summarize the main points of the share. There's basically three main points. One point is that the Aron and the Anan were related in terms of their function, in terms of battling the enemies of Klal Yisrael and the enemies of God. And in one way, the Aron was more offensive and the Anan functioned more as a defensive front against the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and that in that way would scatter the enemies of Klal Yisrael. And that's why Moshe is addressing both by saying, Kuma Hashem b'yafutzu ivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, because both of them functioned for that goal and for that purpose. And then, what was Moshe? Why did Moshe have to say anything? Because the idea is that Klal Yisrael had to be ready for the change amongst the the Machaneh itself, when the Shekhinah was now in front of Klal Yisrael, was no longer amongst Klal Yisrael, they had to be ready for it, and they also had to prepare themselves and be ready for the return of the Shekhinah. And that's why Moshe has to express Shuv Hashem, meaning to say, we're ready for you to come back, we're ready for the Shekhinah to be present amongst us. And he had to say, Kuma Hashem b'yafutzu evecha, to let Klal Yisrael know why the Shekhinah was leaving, what its purpose was, and to have them prepared for this event and for this situation. But he was saying, Kuma Hashem, Rashi says that the Shekhinah, the idea of the Aron, shouldn't be too far from Klal Yisrael. It shouldn't be removed completely from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should still be able to relate to it. And then the last idea is the 22,000 people. Why is the Shekhinah only Shoreh if you have 22,000? 22,000, I believe, is an idea in society, in having a society of Klal Yisrael. And only when you have a society of Klal Yisrael can people relate to the Shekhinah properly. But when you only have Yechidim, individuals, it's dangerous to have the manifestation of God. It leads to distorted ideas about God. It leads to which comes from a certain self-importance. So the idea of 22,000 or 10 is that you always need a group in order to gain greater knowledge of God. And the difference between 10 and 22,000 is the difference between a group and a society of individuals. Okay? All right, so that's really tonight's shiur on Parshas Baal Oscha. So I hope everybody I want everybody to have a good Shabbos, and we'll have another shiur next week. Have a good night.